We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The story of the day, so far anyway, Audis Tony, as I just mentioned in the update, follows Xavier Johnson out the door at Pitt. What is going on here? Let's talk to Craig Meyer about that. Craig, been covering Pitt hoops for a number of years, does a great job at the Post-Gazette. So, Craig, thank you for joining us, and I'll open with a two-part question. Just that, what in the world is happening, and who's next? Is Champagne going to be out the door tomorrow?
Yeah, I feel like who's the next question is a good one, because honestly, this one, you know, with Xavier Johnson, that one I had heard on Tuesday. So he leaves on Wednesday. I had heard Tuesday that there was a very good possibility that was going to be happening. Again, the timing of it's really weird. Only three games left. It speaks to, you know, some larger, I guess, more pressing problems going on. Tony, I honestly, like, I was working, you know, I was working on a story on my laptop when I heard my, like, wife, you know, when I heard my wife call out to me and, you know, and to tell me this. So it, this one was much more of a surprise. I mean, there'd been a little bit of uncertainty last season of whether Tony would be coming back to Pitt. Ultimately, you know, he decided to. It was a little bit of a drawn out process, but it was pretty much solidified by like April. But he was a guy who improved a whole lot in his time at Pitt. You know, I think that there, you know, especially with someone like Xavier Johnson, who at times it didn't ever seem like he really improved much from his freshman season. Tony was the opposite. I mean, he was a guy who showed some promise during his freshman season. You know, very hard nosed, tough player. Was playing a little bit out of position, basically being a 6'6" power forward. You know, with a freshman's body. You know, who hasn't spent a ton of time in the gym. And he became someone who I didn't really ever think, you know, that he would be, you know, where he averages close to 15 points a game. He's the team's second, you know, leading scorer behind only the person who manned up as the ACC player of the year. So I think if there were ever arguments that Jeff Capel has player development problems, Tony would be a pretty easy, he'd be a pretty easy rebuttal, where it's just basically, you know, well, he does have this guy. So losing him hurts in a number of ways, which I'm sure we could probably delve into here.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Craig, I mean, what kind of a reflection is this on Capel? I was around long ago when Ralph Willard left a disaster of a program. Ben Howland came in, and that first year he had to get rid of guys. He had to suspend Brandon Knight, whose jersey hangs in the peat. But this is Capel's third year for this. Shouldn't these kind of problems have been ironed out by now?
Yeah, it doesn't look good, you know, because that's one thing that I feel like anytime, you know, and I've noticed this over the better part of the past 3 years here, anytime there is a critique of Capel, you know, some are valid, some are not so valid. One thing that people routinely, and I think not unfairly, go back to is that this guy took over a mess. You know, Pitt was 0-18 in Kevin Stallings' final season. They were probably one of the worst Power 5 or Big East programs in recent memory, you know, going back 20, 30 years. We're 3 years away from that now. Like, he took over a really bad situation. I don't think anyone denies that. But at this point, I mean, the two guys who, you know, the two guys who have left here over a span of, you know, 26 hours, those are two guys that he recruited, that he brought in. They were, I guess, for lack of a better term, his guys. You know, and you have that entire 2018 freshman class now that he put together in like a 6-week span with Xavier Johnson, Audis Toney, and Trey McGowan, all of whom were important players for Pitt, you know, at various points during their careers. They're all gone now. And you look at it now in Capel's first two classes, he brought in 7 players who had multiple seasons of eligibility remaining. And 4 of those guys are gone. 4 of those guys transferred before their eligibility ran out. You know, with the 4th one being Ryan Murphy, who's now at Duquesne. So it definitely, from the way that people read things, and you know, the way they can fairly read things, I mean, there isn't really much of a other way to put it. I mean, this looks like a mess, and. Yeah, there really isn't much of an argument otherwise, I don't think.
Well, Craig, and we're talking to Craig Meyer, Post-Gazette covers Pitt basketball. You mentioned this could speak to larger pressing issues. You have your ear to the ground with that team, you have for a long time. What might those be? You got any theories?
You know, some of this isn't, you know, you hear a lot of things sometimes, you know, with this job, you talk to enough people, some people have different interests, some people are closer to the situation than others. A lot of what I got right now or what I've heard isn't what I would call thoroughly vetted, but the gist of all that I've heard is that there are chemistry problems with this team, and we've, you know, that was something that players would talk about last year, even during, you know, even during the course of the season when Pitt lost, I forgot what it was, I think 8 of its final 9 games. Like, players talked about, like, oh, you know, some guys are only out for themselves. You would hear comments like that quite a bit. And they would talk about this year. We would ask him, like, okay, how is this team built differently? And they would go back to the same things. They would always say that this team is that this team's together. That those previous teams, guys had conflicting interests. They didn't get along that well. And from everything I've heard, that's not the case. Or at the very least over the past few weeks that has not been the case. So, I mean, there's a lot to find out here. I'm sure once the season ends too, I mean, that people generally become a little bit more honest, even if it's off the record or just on background during that time. So this is
Craig,
sure,
if I can jump in,
we'll be finding out more.
If
about.
I can jump in.
Yeah.
I apologize for interrupting, but you said, over the past few weeks, that's not been the case. What's not been the case that the team, you're saying the team didn't get along or might have had chemistry problems? Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah. That it, you know, they were about a month ago. I guess it feels obviously right now. It feels like an eternity ago. I mean, they were 8-2 and coming off of a win against Duke. But I didn't necessarily want to call the guys liars for saying, that the things were good and guys liked each other, because the sense that I've gotten is this is friction that has built. You know, this isn't something, that existed from the first day of a practice or the first game of the season on. That this is something that's kind of developed. I unfortunately don't have, at least confirmed details beyond that. I guess I'm speaking more in kind of generalities here, but it has been something that's kind of been mounting over time.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody was real surprised, as you said you weren't, about Xavier Johnson. When Capel came out last week about the technical fouls and saying, no matter what I say to him, nothing seems to be getting through, I thought that was a very powerful statement by him. But man, it's just the number of players he seems to have lost touch with here is stunning.
Yeah, and I think that's why Toney hits. That's why I think he kind of hits differently, his loss and his departure. you know, Johnson was someone who I think people unfairly were kind of dismissing as like, oh, you know, this is addition by subtraction. This is a guy, you know, I think some people kind of tried to frame as a malcontent. You know, I've gotten to know him fairly well, gotten to know his family pretty well over his three seasons. I can assure you that he, you know, that he's not that. He certainly has his flaws. You know, he's an erratic player. You know, he's clearly had some problems with keeping his emotions in check over the course of a game. You know, getting some of the technical fouls he did in his third year there, it did kind of speak to some larger problems. You know, and some things as a player that he couldn't quite get over. But you know, losing Tony, I mean, this is a guy that from the time that he got to Pitt, I mean, their fans have really embraced and taken a liking to. He's someone who, you know, I wasn't around for the program, you know, for their glory days, but in some ways I think he embodied some of those traits where there was a toughness to him. There was a ruggedness. You know, he's a guy who's only 6'6", but he played sort of bigger than that frame. He was a physical guy. He was a very good defender, the team's best defender. So he's a guy who I don't think you can dismiss his departure in the same way that you could Johnson's. You know, I don't think that, you know, that he's someone that you can kind of maybe say quit on the team. You know, I think that now the focus shifts more away, from the individual in question. And I guess now we get faced with the larger questions about the program and where it goes from here. And I'll tell you right now, there aren't a lot of answers or a lot of obvious ones, at least.
Craig, you mentioned earlier that there was some question about whether Audis Toney would return for this season. Why was that?
It seemed to be kind of just to make sure that he was in the right spot. You know, I feel like after your sophomore year, I feel like that you're kind of at an inflection point there, where if you stay one more season, you've only got one college season left, and you may not get the chance wherever it is that you end up. You may not get the chance to get kind of settled in. So I think that they just wanted to make sure his family did that he was in the right spot, you know, that the program had kind of what was best for him in mind, as far as what position he would play, what kind of vision that they had for him, and ways that they thought that they could potentially utilize him. So those were more of the concerns. And I don't know how realistic of a possibility him leaving really was, but I think it was more just on their end trying to kind of be safe and just make sure everything's kind of tied up.
I got to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, the exits are going to continue, right? I mean, is Champagne going to go to the NBA?
Yeah, that's a big question right now. I've kind of veered on this. I thought, you know, 3 weeks ago I would have told you, you know, if it's a 50-50 thing, I'm probably leaning 60-40 yes. And then his play dipped off a little bit. But, like, I honestly don't know how much NBA teams really pay attention to that. I think they're trying to evaluate guys like, okay, I don't care what he's doing, you know, in a mid-February game against Virginia Tech. I want to see this guy and know what he can potentially be for the next 10 years. And Sports Illustrated came out with an NBA draft big board, I think it was yesterday. I've lost track of time here with all these moves, but he was number 24 on that. There are 30 picks in the first round. So, I mean, these aren't, like, that's not a mock draft. That's not saying that he's going to go number 24 overall, but you can do the math. And he is a guy who, you know, he's certainly, you know, and that's obviously only one outlet, one that does a very good job. But, he is at the very least someone who is who's in the conversation of being a first round pick. And if you're a first round pick, like, and you're a guy like him who, you know, I think that he has much more of a role in the NBA in 2021 than he would have, say, 10 years ago. Like, I think he projects much better to that level than he would have then. I still don't necessarily know what his ceiling is. And I think if you're a guy like him and you're a first-round pick or even in the conversation to be one. You know, I'm obviously not advising the guy, but I would probably leave if that were the case.
Lastly, Craig, where are we in the recruiting process for next season, and what kind of class does Capel have? Highly regarded or no?
That, I think, is a lot of these concerns and anxieties that exist for Pitt right now. This is what compounds a lot. They have nobody. They don't have a single commitment. They're the only program in the ACC without any players committed or signed. You know, it's the case for the 2021 class and the 2022 class. So they, I think that some of these losses, painful as they might be, would be a little bit easier to absorb and process for them if they at least knew that there was some kind of a reinforcement set. But right now, they don't have a single person. And, you know, for the 2021 class, I want to say it's about 90 of the top 100 players have either committed somewhere or signed somewhere. And, you know, things do change. There are coaching changes, you know, and with those coaching changes, guys back out of their commitments or get out of their letters of intent. You know, that's how Pitt got Xavier Johnson in the first place, was he was all set to go to Nebraska, and the assistant coach who was recruiting him there left to go to, I think, UConn, and that, you know, and then he backed out. So, you know, things can definitely happen. There are transfers they can get. Guys can reclassify from the 2022 class. But as things stand now, yeah, they've got nobody.
Wow.
Ron, I think one more comes to mind for me then, and I apologize to both of you for that. But the fact that nobody is committed or signed, the fact that this thing has blown up, are you convinced that Jeff Capel is going to see this thing through, or might he want to jump ship?
Not entirely sure on that. You know, I think, you know, he has, I'm doing the quick math here in my head. Let's see. He has 6 years left on his contract after this year. So I don't, you know, he is in, you know, as unstable as things seem now, at least financially, he is in a fairly stable and good spot. I think that I would guess in trying to pick up guys, they're really going to try to sell playing time that, hey, we've lost all these guys. Like, I can explain why they left and why it's not as bad as it may seem, or why it's not nearly as bad as it's being made out to be. You know, and I think that for some guys that can be potentially appealing, but in the hole that they're in right now, I mean, it takes something special or something unexpected to potentially dig out of it. I mean, it's been done before, could very well happen here too, but a lot of the momentum that he generated at various points during his time at Pitt, I mean, that's all gone.
We appreciate the time, man. You took a lot of time there. I know you're in the middle of a big story. Thank you.
Always got time. Thank y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.